the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON Sports presentation.
It's high school basketball coming your way from Napa, California, as the Justin Jennifer's of Napa host the Vintage Freshers of Napa. It's senior night at the Dan Clark Gymnasium in Napa. Good evening, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation. Tonight is high school basketball coming your way on senior night for the Justin Siena Braves. The JV game just ended. It was a close contest, and we hope to get some of the leading scores to pass along here in just a moment. As the Justin Siena JVs led at the end of the first quarter, 20-12. They had a 20-10 lead in that first period. Vintage came back, though, and tied the game at 26-26, and then Justin was able to move ahead at halftime, 29-28. The third quarter, Justin Siena did not manage a field goal. They hit one free throw, and that was it in that third quarter. Vintage's scoring came up with 9 points in the third to lead it 37-30 after three quarters. Justin started to come back, and then Vintage would pull ahead again, and Vintage finally won the JV contest 48-43. The game had been tied at 39-39 there toward the end. So that was the JV action, and to give you some idea, Sam Neal was the leading scorer in the contest, as he had 14 points, with Justin's leading scorer was Aiden Cushing. He had 10 points. Other scoring, Snible for Vintage, or Snible, had 10 points in the game for the Crusaders, and Caden McDevitt had 8 points for the Justin Siena JV. So that was the final game for those two teams as they have wrapped up their season on the JV level. And now we set the scene for tonight's varsity action. And an important game it is for particularly the Vintage Freshers, as it will affect Wednesday's opening round of the playoff. This is senior night, and a guy standing close to us and in front of us is Joe Donahoe. He is the coach of the Vintage girls team, and they are playing tonight at home, and they are going against Justin Siena girls at the Vintage gym. And so they moved the starting time up at this game to 6:30, and they moved the starting time for the game at Vintage back to 8 o'clock. So that way, Joe Donahoe gets to be here to watch his son on senior night, and then he gets to get back over to Vintage High School to coach his girls' basketball team against Justin Siena. Vintage already assured of the number one slot, as it was in the playoffs that come up on Wednesday night. And we'll be telling you more about the playoff schedule. The Vintage boys, though, they need a victory tonight, and they need a few other things to happen. And we'll do the best we can to tell you a little bit about the options that are coming up in boys basketball. But we can tell you that the girls' scene is set. Wednesday night, Vintage will host Justin Siena. Yep, the same two teams that are playing tonight will play again at the same location on Wednesday night in the first round of playoffs. Casa Grande of Petaluma will host Napa, the Napa girls team, on Wednesday night. So each of those locations on Wednesday night. And for the boys, Napa High will be hosting one of three teams: Casa Grande, Sonoma Valley, or Vintage. And then American Canyon will be hosting one of those three teams as well. And it'll be determined tonight which of the teams are in and which one is out.
Yeah, and, you know, this is always the fun part of the year for me of any season is, I mean, basically these are like playoff games tonight because the teams involved know that if they don't win tonight, they're not going to be in the official playoffs that start on Wednesday, a lot of them. So So this should be playoff quality basketball. I mean, the intensity is always there with these young men, but tonight it'll be even more so if that's possible.
That was Dino Alessio. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we'll be joined by Alan Rossi. We didn't get the starting time to him about early enough, so he's still probably planning on a 6:45 starting time. But by that time, we'll be about ready for the second quarter of basketball as we have this earlier starting time. And I know that Joe Donahoe is very appreciative of that and probably has said many thank yous to the two schools involved, Justin Siena and the Vintage Eye, for making that particular arrangement. And our engineer is Angelo Lyons, a Napa High graduate on the staff at KVON, KVYN. He assists with various types of remote broadcasts and was very helpful the other night in shifting a cable. We understand that they had a long cable and it was getting a little interference or some static. So Angelo said, let's try this shorter cable on, and it worked great. So Angelo, that's the way to go there. We'll be back and set the scene, check the probable starters. But it's going to be senior night, so it'll be a little while before our opening tip-off. But right now we take time out for these messages. Well, we're here at the Dan Clark Gymnasium on the campus of Justin Siena, and we're getting set for senior night between the Vintage Treasures of Napa and the Justin Siena Braves of Napa. Dave Granucci is in his first year as the coach for Justin Siena, and Rob Johnson is in his second year as coach for the Vintage Treasures. And a guy named Joe Donahoe is in his third year as coach for the Vintage Girls basketball team, and he happens to be here at the Dan Clark Gymnasium tonight before his game over at the Chrysler Gym because his son is going to be acknowledged on senior night. Well, Andy, how has the season been as far as the Well, we do have an interview with him coming up here, so if we can get that queued up right. Here we go.
Well, Joe, putting it all together this year and coming away with the first ever Vine Valley Athletic League championship.
Yeah, I think we still got a little bit of work to do. I think right now we're guaranteed to be co-champions, but really proud of the girls.
Tell us a bit about the playoffs now. You'll still be the number one seed.
Yes, we are definitely going to be the one seed coming out of the league. And then we start the league tournament Wednesday at home, and we play Justin again Wednesday night.
Same as tonight.
Yeah, and then the winner of that game goes to American Canyon, and then we'll wait and see how the section feels about us. We haven't really been able to get out of that 12th spot in Division One, even though we've been winning. So there's some tall timber ahead of us. So we got to work it out for us, but I think we got a pretty good chance if we're league champions to host the game, which I think it might be the first girls section basketball playoff game ever hosted at Vintage, so we're very proud of having the opportunity to try and have that happen.
Another repeat is Casa Grande playing against Napa girls tonight. They'll play again Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess that's just how it worked out this year. The league, there was a couple of upsets in week 10 there that kind of shuffled the deck. So, yeah, it's exciting time. We got meaningful games, and that's always the goal, to be playing meaningful games this time of year.
And you have to have a lot of pride in seeing that your son Barrett is being congratulated and all on senior night at Justin Siena.
Yep, it was really nice. The athletic directors got together and changed the game times a little bit, so I'd be able to come over, be part of his game, and then get over to celebrate our senior night as well. We have a big senior class tonight graduating too, but absolutely, I'm super excited. You know, I've been in a lot of basketball games with Barrett, and this is his last one, so his last high school game of anything, so I'm very excited to be here.
Well, indeed, and a very proud father he is to the Justin Siena seniors are about to be introduced. They have Shane Rosenthal going out to center court now. He is the first one to be introduced to the crowd here. And our viewpoint is going to be blocked out a little bit because we have some of the parents and the players standing right in front of us. We have Landon Mispagio going out there with his parents. But we'll try to pick up their numbers as they head toward center court. Dominic Moore, his family, Kevin Galvin, and they have Zachary Kiefer. Dominic Moore just walking in front of us now as he is heading out towards center court. His mom holding his left arm as he heads that direction. Right in front of us now, we have Barrett Donahoe, his mother on his right, his father off on his left. And so they will be introduced here in just a moment. Now coming out is, this actually is Landon Mispagel coming out now as they shake hands with the underclassmen for the Justin Siena boys basketball team. And then they head toward center court. And we've got Barrett yet to be introduced, chatting yet with his father here on the sideline. Big smiles on everyone's face, too, as they are just being acknowledged for their contributions to Justin Siena. And now here he comes. There comes Barrett Donahoe. He gets a hug from his coach, David Granducci. Goes his mother following him, and Joe Donahoe behind them. Joe will be repeating this scene over at the Crusher Gym tonight for his graduating seniors on the varsity girls team there. There are six seniors on the varsity roster for Justin Siena this year. There are four juniors and four sophomores. Coming on the court now, Kevin Galvin and his mom and dad there shaking hands with the other players. They walk down the line going toward center court, and then they will line up as they get some handshakes. And the parents and their basketball sons being acknowledged. Now the coach going over there to stand beside. It makes it a long line when you have the players and their parents standing out there from side to side. It's going to be a wide-angle photograph necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, between the parents and the players, they far outnumber the underclassmen players who are waiting at the bench observing what's going on.
And there are a round of applause as that aspect of the evening has been completed. Now we'll get set for basketball. And we'll be coming back here in a moment to take a look at the Vintage Crushers and their probable starters as we get ready for basketball tonight on KVON after these messages. Well, the players have been introduced, and they're huddled out on the court, not in front of their benches, but out near the free throw circles there. That's the way they used to do in old-time basketball way back. The players would stay on the court, and they would roll out this little roller that had the towels and things on that, and you'd roll it back after the timeout.
That was back when you played, Ira, when they used peach baskets.
Right? That was back there. We had jump balls there. We didn't have the three-point basket. And the jump ball occurred wherever it was on the court. You didn't go to the center or to the free throw line for the jump ball. And at one time, you had the option of taking a free throw or taking the ball out of bounds. But those rules go way back. And we're ready to get this ball game underway now. It is senior night at Justin Siena. The Braves going the basket to our right and Justin Siena to the left. Ball is batted around, and Justin Siena gets on defense right away. as Vintage controls the tip. They bring it down the right side as they have working it around against the starting seniors. Driving in as Polk, he goes up and he scores a drive through the lane, and Grant Polk gets the first basket in the ball game. Braves get their hands on the ball for the first time. Donahoe brings it into the forecourt. They're working with five seniors out there now. Rosenthal getting a start and driving in the lane, going up, shooting, and missing with Donahoe. He was fouled on the drive and was in the act of shooting at the time. So he is going to go to the free throw line. The Donahoe at the foul line. The foul. First of the game, the free throw, the first of the game is good by Barrett. Back to the free throw line. Bouncing the ball, eyeing the basket. Free throw is good, and we're tied now as the Donahoe hits on two out of two at the foul line. Vintage Crushers with the ball, bring it into the forecourt. His Hammerline takes it over now to Gutierrez. Gutierrez, top of the key. Works it right side. Justin Sin in man-to-man defense. Goes to a low post. The ball is stolen away by Donahoe. Donahoe leads a fast break, coming down to the right side of the key, but cannot drive in. He's checked off of the drive by Blake Murray. Bounces it, or he drives into the lane. Pass goes into the left corner for a three-point attempt. No good. And the rebound is pulled out of there by Galvin. Galvin passes it over to Rosenthal. Goes in. He shoots. No good. Rebounded by the Crushers. Quickly in the forecourt they come as Murray has it to the left of the key. Passes back out toward the top of the circle now. It goes to Hammerline. And they're working it around against the man-to-man defense. Crushers looking for the good shot now. Rendon has it well out left side. Over to Murray. The ball is deflected away from him and stolen by Miss Fagel. And here come the Braves. We're tied at two. The Donahoe in the forecourt. Started there by Murray. Vintage is using the man-to-man defense here at the outset of the game. Back to Donahoe. He gets a block and rolls on it. Doesn't shoot. Passes back out. There is the three-point attempt up. No good by Rosenthal. Rebounded by Vintage. Rendon brings it forecourt. Passes it cross-court to a driving Polk, who missed the shot but was fouled on the plays. He was coming into the lane, he got the pass and went toward the basket, put the shot up, and was fouled on the play. And again, we'll be at a disadvantage as far as telling you for against whom the foul is called, because the officials give the indication at mid-court there to the scorer's bench, and we're down at the south end of Dan Clark Gym. Free throw is no good. The first of two by Polk. Grant Polk, a senior, one of five seniors that Vintage has on its squad. Vintage needs a victory to hope to get into the playoffs. Two of the three teams that we mentioned earlier will make it into the playoffs. Next free throw is good by Polk, those three being Casa Grande, Napa, and Justin. Well, those were the girls. Pardon me, Napa's already assured to get in. It's Casa Grande, Sonoma Valley, and Vintage. There's a shot no good by the Braves, and driving down as Rendon goes in, shoots, they'll get rebound, put back up, but no good by Polk, and the rebound now to the Braves' Galvin. It's a 3-2 game, 5.5 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter of the game as Donahoe brings it towards the right-hand corner to Rosenthal. Rosenthal's defense tightly there by Hemling, gets it passed out. A three-pointer is up and good by Dominic Moore. Moore sinks the three, and the Braves have the lead in the ball game, 5-3. So Justin Sienna gets back quickly on the defense as they're working with a shifting man-to-man defense, dropping back, congesting that middle drive area. But Murray tries to drive in, and as he does, there's a reach-in foul called, not a shooting foul, and so the ball will be out of bounds. The official, again, shows the number to the official score there, but we have no way of actually seeing what his number is. But there's a change in the lineup. Justin Sienna has Miss Pagel going to the sideline, and they have brought Kiefer, a senior, in. So all six of the seniors now have seen action here in the first quarter of the game. 5-3 the score. Well, Murray had been out for a moment. He's right back in, though. Blake Murray, he'll be guarded out there by Dominic Moore on the man-to-man alignment. There's a three-point attempt by Rendon, rimming no good. Rebound, easy putback underneath the basket for Grant Polk. And Polk has all five of the vintage points now, as they've tied up the game at five apiece. Pass goes left side now. Rosenthal used up the dribble. Vintage is pressuring, but allowing them to have some room behind the three-point arc. And going to shoot the three on the way, and no good by Rosenthal. And the ball is taken by the Crushers. They bring it in the forecourt. Murray guarded over there by Donahoe. They set it back up as Murray working on the weave over to Rendon. Rendon brings it back out. Polk out on a high post, well behind the three-point arc, working it around the perimeter. Justin doing a good job staying with the offensive player. And then there's a shot tried by Hunter Gutierrez, and it caroms out of bounds. Shot was no good, and it'll be Justin Sienna's ball. Well, we're midway through the first quarter, and the score is tied up at five. Donahoe looks to inbound against some pressure there. Gets it into Galvin. Galvin drives into the forecourt, and he kicks it back out now to Rosenthal. Looks at a three, doesn't take it, backs up with the ball. Looks there on a low post to Kiefer. Kiefer comes out, sets a pick, but the ball is lost by Rosenthal. Coming down is Murray. He'll go up and try the shot, and he is fouled as he misses the field goal attempt. And I think that is on Shane Rosenthal, the personal foul. Murray at the free throw line, and his first free throw is no good. Blake Murray has some good potential to be a very outstanding player for the Vintage Crushers next year. Shane Rosenthal has come out of the Justin lineup, and Liam McDivitt has taken his place. Free throw is perfect there by Murray, just the junior. Also into the ball game for Vintage is Max Phipps. He will be out there at a guard position. And Murray goes back to the sideline. Also into the game is Jeffrey Hammond for the Vintage Crushers. And the keeper Hammerline, or checking, Hammerline goes out, and Josh McCormick has come into his slot. There's a travel called against the Braves. Liam McDivitt looked around and said, I did not pull that pivot foot. The ball goes over, though, to the Vintage Crushers, leading it 6-5. Here in the opening quarter of the play, as they start to drive toward the left corner, the ball is stolen away by Galvin. Galvin, a very alert play there, grabs the ball, comes into the forecourt, driving baseline is Moore, kicks it in the right-hand corner, a three-point attempt is no good. Rebounded by McCormick there for the Crushers. McCormick has his pass intercepted by Donahoe. Donahoe drives in, goes up, he lays it in for two. Donahoe gets his first field goal, and their basket is good. And a fast break worked for the Crushers, and Jeffrey Hammond beat the defense, got inside, and there was a little shove as he went up for the shot, made the basket, and was fouled by Galvin on the play. Into the lineup is Jaden Satin. Satin is in, replacing Galvin. At the free throw line is Hammond, and he missed the three-point opportunity, and the missed free throw is rebounded by Donahoe. Justin Sienna with the ball, trailing by one, coming up on the two-and-a-half-minute mark here in the first quarter. Goes to the top of the key to Kiefer. Now in the left corner, a three-pointer. Kaboom! He got it! That was Dominic Moore's second three-point basket in the first quarter. And the Braves go back ahead of the Crushers, 10-8, 2:15 to go. We're in the first quarter. And as the ball is deflected by McDivitt, steals it away, coming down. He passes underneath, going up, shooting and scoring. a good transition there with Dominic Moore breaking ahead of the pack, getting a nice pass from Leon McDivitt to lay it in for the basket with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. There is almost another steal at midcourt, and Hammerling is tied up by Satin. And on the alternate position, Justin Sienna gets the ball. Braves lead it by 4, 12-8. If the Graciers lose, that gives, would be their final game of the season. Donahoe, a pull-up jumper is good. Jared Donahoe pulled up from about 18 feet just to the right of the keyhole area and popped it in. And it's 14-8 now. Justin in the lead, Vinnie's with the ball. Vinnie's working it around the perimeter. They get it over to the left side. They have brought into the game David Bound. Bound looks at a three, doesn't take it. Gets it over now to McCormick. McCormick just a sophomore. Over to the senior, Phipps. Goes to a low post to Polk, and he tried a shot and was fouled on the play by Moore. So Polk, who made the first 5 points for Vinnie's, will be at the free throw line. His team down by 6 here. The first quarter of play, Polk's first free throw is no good. He is 1-for-3 so far at the foul line. Going to the sideline is Hammond, replaced by Luke Williams, the junior for the Vintage Crushers, as Rob Johnson makes a change in his team's lineup. And Polk at the free throw line makes the next free throw for his 6 points. And he is replaced by Lauren Castro, a junior coming into the lineup for the first time. Score is 14-9. Justin with the ball and the lead. Donahoe looks like a 2-3 zone defense. He tries to drive around it, and the ball is deflected, and it's picked up by the Braves. They get it at the low post and kick it out to McDivitt. Looks at a three, rolls up, doesn't take it. Passes over the left side now as they get it to Dominic Moore, working it around the perimeter. We're in the final minute now of the first quarter. The set of pick here for Donahoe. He rolls on the pick and then kicks it out into the right-hand corner. A three on the way. No good by Moore. Rebounded by the Crushers. 35 seconds to go. There's a difference of about 3 seconds in the shot clock and the game clock. The ball is deflected by the Braves out of bounds. It'll stay with the Crushers just to the left of the basket for which they are shooting. Inbound pass is deflected right to Dino Alessio. Nice grab there, Dino, as he gets into this ball game as well. And it'll be Crusher's ball right in front of our broadcast vantage point as they look to inbound it. Castro gets it underneath the basket. He fakes as he starts to go up. He lost the handle on the ball, and it sails out of bounds instead of going for the basket. Liam will inbound the ball. Liam McDivitt, just the junior, good shooter. The ball into Donahoe. Donahoe playing his final game for Justin Sienna. He quarterbacks the football team. 15 seconds to go in the quarter. His team up by 5. Still dribbling around out the top of the key. Back near midcourt. And there's a whistle away from the ball. He did not advance the ball toward the basket. And the referee had the 5 count on. And Dave Granucci is protesting at this, saying that he still was moving with the ball. And here's the Crushers coming down. They're not going to be able to get a shot away before the buzzer sounds, and that will end the first quarter senior night at Justin Sienna. And the score, the Justin Sienna Braves of Napa 14, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 9. Back with the second quarter following this message. Line, used up the dribble, looks around, puts the ball high over his head, and his pass is intercepted by Notham, who just came in the game. The southpaw drives in, missed the shot, rebound is pulled out by Jaden Satin for the Braves. There's a long three up by Moore, no good. Rebound, a long rebound comes out to Jared Rendon for Vinny's Crushers, punched away from him by Moore, but retrieved by Rendon as he brings the ball forecourt now. Takes it toward the basket, goes up with the shot. No good. The rebound taken out of there by Jaden Satin. Gives to Donahoe across the timeline. The bounce pass under, going up and scoring for the Braves was Dominic Moore, who is in double figures. In fact, he has one more point than the Vintage Crushers team has. He has 10 points. Crushers have 9. Underneath, the pass goes to Murray. He was fouled on the play. He'll get 2 shots. Braves were double-teaming Murray after he got the pass in there. And the foul is on McDivitt, I think. The free throw is up, no good by Murray. Murray is 1-for-3 at the foul line tonight. We have a chance here. We'll check with Dino on that first quarter. During that timeout, Logan Nothman, a 6-foot sophomore, came into the lineup for Vintage. Murray missed that free throw, and the rebound is run down there by Satin, and the Braves get the ball back, leading it by 7 points. Now Donahoe walks it in the forecourt to Satin at the top of the key, working the weave over the left side to Kiefer. Kiefer on a little shovel pass to McDivitt, who will pull up with an 18-foot jumper. No good. Castro with the rebound for the Crushers. Out on the right wing is pass goes to Rendon. Rendon crosses the timeline. Starts down the right side. Now pulls back. He's going to try a 3. It is good. Jared Rendon hits the 3-pointer. Crushers first points here in the second quarter. Gone a couple minutes without scoring in the quarter. It's now a 16-12 Braves lead. Donahoe drives in, goes up, was fouled as he misses, and he goes down hard. He may be called for a charge. They're just saying no. Oh yeah, now they are showing it was an offensive ball control foul against Donahoe. So that's a turnover, and gets the ball out of bounds there in the backcourt. The Crushers, Williams, set to trigger the inbound, comes to Nothman. Nothman brings it quarter court right side. Now over to Murray. Murray guarded pretty tightly there by Keith Vince, who just came into the lineup for the Braves. As the Crushers work it around the perimeter, staying behind the three-point arc to Nothman. Nothman drives in, and a good pass under the basket, but it was intercepted by Satin as he moved in front down to McDivitt. He tries a quick running shot as he knew he was going to be fouled on the play. While the shot missed, he will go to the line for 2 points.
So the first quarter shooting, 3 out of 10 for Vintage, 5 out of 13 from the floor for the Justin Braves.
And at the free throw line, McDivitt, the first of which is good. That's the first point for the junior, Liam McDivitt. Into the lineup is Landon McPagel. He was a starter tonight, replaces Zachary Kiefer. 6 seniors for the Braves. They've all played in the ballgame so far. McDivitt is good on both of the free throws. And the Braves go up by 6 points now at 18-12. Murray in the forecourt for the Crushers. They spread the offense now as Nothman looks at the the man-to-man defense against him. Wyatt Humphreys has come into the ball game, 2-4 Justin Siena. There's Nothman trying a 3, no good. Rebound, Humphreys nearly had it, but it was deflected away, and Vintage controls it with 5 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Murray behind the arc, it over now to Nothman. Nothman nearly fell down, but gets the pathway to Murray first. As he starts to drive in, there's a reach-in foul called. And the foul goes against Satin. The 1-1 is in effect for Murray. Back into the lineup for Justin Siena is Galvin. He will replace Satin. Satin, a very aggressive player, and he's out there. Does a real nice job off of the backboard and rebounding. Free throw is good, so that gets a bonus for Murray. Murray has made just 2 out of 5 at the free throw line. He's back there now, taking his time. His free throw off the front of the rim, no good. Rebound, Murray gets it, and then he kicks it into the left corner to Gutierrez. Fires a shot, no good. McDivitt saves it from going out of bounds for Justin Siena, and gets the ball over to Keith Vince. Vince bothered a bit in the backcourt by Blake Murray now. And there is a foul call. Murray on the reach in. Boy, they're calling him close there. in this first half of play. So Murray charged with the personal foul. That was only the third team foul against Vintage. There have been 9 team fouls called against Justin Siena so far. Phipps is in. Murray goes to the sideline. And the Braves with the ball and a 5-point lead. Into the forecourt, Ben, picked up there by Phipps, tries to drive around him, can't do it, passes it over to the left side now. Humphreys drives in, goes up, shoots, scores! What a move by Wyatt Humphreys. Just came into the ball game, just a sophomore. Got a nice basket there. And the Braves go up by 7 as we're midway through the second quarter now with 4 minutes to go. Justin Siena back into their the defense. Will follow the round. It's a shifting man-to-man there, as it looks to be almost a matchup zone. Rendon drives in, goes up, and he scores. He got through the defense and was able to get a basket, 20-15. Braves with the ball in the lead. Benz in the forecourt. Over to McDivitt, pulls up. Back to Benz in the right-hand corner. Goes baseline, cut off by Rendon. Step on the sideline, or the baseline, I think. There was a whistle, but no, it looks like there's going to be another foul. Boy, they're calling him really close.
They certainly are. I thought the same thing you did, Ira. I thought he had stepped on the baseline, but maybe he was bumped into stepping over it.
Well, that's the fourth team foul, so the Braves inbound the ball. McDivitt drives in. Goes out. Oh, his shot is blocked, and coming away with the ball is Nothman. Drives in, goes up, and has the layup. Logan Nothman took advantage of a real good block. I don't know if that was Grant Folk that got the block. May have been. Braves, McDivitt fires a 3. Kaboom! He got it! McDivitt gets his first field goal. And it is a 3-pointer. In the first quarter, Dominic Moore had 2 3-point baskets. 3 minutes to go in the first half. Rendon bounce pass over into the right-hand corner. Nothman tries the 3, no good. Rebound is taken by Poole. Tried to get a pass out the top of the key. Does so now to Rendon. Rendon gets it over to the left side now to Gutierrez. Back to Rendon for a 3. It rims, no good. Rebound taken by Keith Benz for the Braves. Lets the defense siphon by. Now he'll bring it across the timeline. Kicks it in the corner to the team. And kaboom again! As McDivitt hits another 3 from the right corner this time. Underneath, Polk lays it in. They could not contend with the height of Grant Polk on that fast break, and Polk did a nice job of hustling down the court and was able to get under the basket, and there is another foul at midcourt. I think Rendon's going to be called for this foul. That's the 5th team foul, so the Braves are not yet in the bonus. Back into the lineup is Dominic Moore. He'll replace Wyatt Humphreys. Humphreys got some good potential there, just a sophomore. Got a basket right after he came into the lineup. McDivitt has it well out for the Braves. They lead it by 7 points with 2 minutes to go in the half. Underneath, the shot up and good from underneath by Kevin Galvin. Gets his first basket in the ball game. And it's the biggest lead the Braves have had, a 9-point advantage. And there's a travel called against the Chrysers as they bring it down into the forecourt. So the Braves with their biggest lead, and we have a minute 45 to go here in the first half, and Justin Chin is up 28-19. Forecourt bends with the ball, drives it towards the right corner, gives to McDivitt for a 3-point attempt. This one is no good, and the long rebound comes out to Knopf, but he leads a 3-on-1 fast break. Goes up, missed the shot, and getting in there was Ben. What a defensive rebound amidst 3 Chrysers. Brings it down quickly. Over to Moore. Fires a 3. It's an air ball. Taken out of there by Phipps. Phipps, the lead pass to Nothman. Nothman to the right of the key. Used up the dribble. Finds Rendon. Rendon just to the right of the key. Backs up to the top of the key now. Now he'll drive the lane. Goes up with the shot and hits it. Beautiful drive there by Jared Rendon. He had 7 points all in this quarter. The Crushers needed that one. They had fallen behind by 9. We're in the final minute of the first half. Benz walks it across the timeline, guarded by Nothman there. Has used up the dribble, finds at the top of the key, Miss Pagel. Goes over to Moore. Moore pivots around, takes it underneath to Benz. He's open, he goes up, he shoots, he scores. somehow Keith Finns got open in the lane, and they got a good pass to him, and he just managed to go in from the left side and lay it up with his right hand. Crusher's down quickly to the big guy, and Polk lays it in on an assist to Jared Rendon there. What a nice pass, a little lob underneath there, right to Polk, who just had to lay it in. His 10th point of the first half, and it's 30-23. Final 10 seconds now of the first half. Moore drives into the lane, puts one up, a little floater, no good. Rebound Gutierrez with 1 second to go, and that will end the first half. For Vintage, in that quarter, they came up with 14 points in the quarter. Justin Siena managed 16 points in the quarter. Our score here at tap time at Dan Clark Gym and Justin Siena, the Justin Siena Braves of Napa 30 and the Vintage Chrysler's of Napa 23. Well, we're back here at the Dan Clark Gym Day on the campus of Justin Siena. And what a treat we had. Well, this is parents' treat night with the seniors being acknowledged. Also kind of a treat for us to meet a guy that used to play basketball for the Vintage Chrysler's. Had a chance to help us out some on KVON Sports and has gone on to be a star in his own right because he has been on television and various top markets. And we're talking about Aaron Anderson. And Aaron, what a pleasure to see you again.
It's not only great to be here, it's great to hear you say my name. I have great memories of playing basketball here in the Valley, and of course, your name went right along with it.
Well, let's find out more about you now, and tell us about after you left at Vintage, where you went to college, and then getting into the broadcasting field.
Well, I graduated from UC Davis. I played 1 year of basketball for the Aggies and retired at that point, but my broadcasting career began in Casper, Wyoming. From there, I moved to Chico, California, on to Reno, then Salinas, then Tucson, Sacramento. I'm not done. Las Vegas, Denver, and now I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I have a chance to cover the best basketball in the country.
You're in that triangle there.
I am, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun to cover the Duke Blue Devils and North Carolina Tar Heels and NC State Wolfpack. You know, this year, I mean, every day it seems like there's a great, you know, game taking place in the triangle.
What an experience. Just go to a Duke basketball game. Can you even try to relate what happens during a Duke Blue Devil basketball?
Well, if you're a sports fan, that's not only a bucket list. I mean, you have to go there just once in your life. But for me, what was really fun is we had a media basketball game, and it was the first time I had a chance to pick up a basketball in about 20 years. And so it basically hammered home the point that the basketball days are behind me. But for one night, I had a chance to shoot buckets inside Cameron, which is a thrill for sure.
Well, tell us about your assignment there at Raleigh.
Well, I'm the weekend sports anchor, which means during the week I have a chance to cover whatever basketball games are going on. And then during the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, I'm the guy behind the desk bringing you the sports during the nightly news for the CBS affiliate. So they've kept me awfully busy. This year I had a Carolina Panthers show that was my responsibility once a week for 18 weeks, tracking Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey. And then during basketball season, we're all ACC basketball. So it's been a lot of fun.
Hey, you've got the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game coming here in about a week.
Yeah, Steph Curry is going to be a part of the three-point contest.
And his brother.
Yeah, which will be great. Of course, both those guys were from the outskirts of Charlotte. And folks in North Carolina are basketball starved. So it makes perfect sense not only to have that, but the ACC tournament is back in North Carolina for the first time in a couple of years. So we've got a lot of basketball ahead of us.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's really good basketball, some of the top. You know, I'm always surprised when Duke loses. When they come up with guys like Zion Williams or some of these guys, that every year they keep replacing top players with top players.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach K has been there for 38 years, and the guy's a winner. There's just no doubt about it. But down the road, 8 miles away, Roy Williams is holding court at UNC, and they've got a great team as well. Kevin Keats in Raleigh at NC State. So for me, being a sports fan, having grown up here in the Valley, dreaming about, you know, seeing games or playing games in arenas like that, venues like that, for teams like that, it's really been a dream come true.
We're talking with Aaron Anderson, a former Vintage Chrysler, and finding out about his days now in his profession of sportscasting on television. What do you enjoy most?
I love to tell stories. And for me, that's really my bread and butter. Love to get out of the office. I did a story last week on a young man by the name of Chris Clemens, who you probably haven't heard of, but he just moved into 13th place on the all-time scoring list for NCAA Division I basketball, passing Larry Bird. He's a Raleigh kid, and he plays at a tiny school that you probably couldn't find on a map, but he's playing big-time basketball. So,
well, I've heard of Davidson, and they produced a pretty good player.
That's very true, yes. But for me, to find a story like that and have a chance to get to know a young man and kind of bring his story to life, that's really what it's all about for me.
Right. What about weekends? How do you enjoy the lead for weekends?
Well, for me, weekends is when sports really happens, right? I mean, if you're a sports fan, you're on your couch watching the games, and if I'm lucky enough to cover something in person, that's great. But ultimately, it's a lot of fun for me to try to cut up the highlights and present them in a way that'll be digestible for my viewers. So I get a kick out of that.
Have most of your assignments been connected with a CBS affiliate?
No, I've worked for every affiliate you can imagine, CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, and whatnot. I'm just thrilled with the opportunity to have a ringside seat for some of these games. The Super Bowl just played out yesterday, and I had a chance to cover two of those while in Denver. One was a great locker room experience, though the other one not so much, but to have a chance to cover big-time athletics is really what it's all about.
Yeah. What did you think about yesterday's Super Bowl? Kind of boring?
Well, I mean, look, I'm of the opinion that I don't mind going to a baseball game and seeing a 1-0 game, provided it's a great defensive game, you see good pitching. But both defenses played great. I mean, to shut down the Rams' offense, give Bill Belichick some credit. And let's be honest, the Rams' defense played pretty well as well. So, I mean, I think we get spoiled, right, because the year before we had a shootout that I think both teams got into the 40s. I don't mind a Super Bowl like that as long as in the end there's a reason to watch it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that Donald was tough.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they're not bad. I always joke, people ask me, what do you want? Who do you want to win? I said, I just hope a guy with a Bay Area tie at quarterback wins. So I was pretty safe there.
Well, it's great to see you, and keep us posted on where you go next, as you have been traveling around, but each experience is something special for your resume.
Yeah, well, hopefully you have a chance to see me here locally. It'd be fun to return to the West Coast, but for now I'm in Raleigh, so look for me during the NCAA tournament.
We'll be checking that out, and we'll look for you at the All-Star game, too.
That's right. I can't wait for that. It's in, 10 days or so?
Coming right up. Aaron Anderson, thank you so much for joining us here at Halftime.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, graduate of Vinny's. Let's check with Dino now on those first half shooting stats.
So for the Vintage Crushers, they ended up 9 out of 26 from the floor in that first half, including 1 out of 6 from three-point range. And they were a pretty mediocre 4 out of 11 from the free throw line, and that may come back to hurt them in a game like this where every point is precious. For the Justin Braves, they were much better shooting from the floor, 11 out of 25, 44%, including 4 out of 9 from three-point range. That's also 44%. And they made all 4 of the free throws that they shot. The turnover battle, 8 turnovers against the Vintage Crushers and just 5 for the Justin Braves. Rebounding is 16 for Vintage, 12 for Justin.
Okay, well, thanks, Dino. Just about ready to get this second half underway on KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. In that first half, the Crushers had 4 players that got into the scoring column, led by Grant Post, 10 points. The Justin Santa Braves had 5 players get into the scoring column, led by 10 points by Dominic Moore. And here we go. We're starting the third quarter now. The Braves with the ball, and there's Moore trying a 3 right off the bat. No good, and Gutierrez rebounds now, and the Crushers have the ball, trailing 30-23. Pass goes left side. Driving in is Hammerline, cut off the play, so comes back out with a pass to Murray. Murray to the right of the key, spreading the offense now. Gets it over to the left now. Hammerling has a lot of room between he and his defender, Barrett Donahoe. Donahoe just trying to challenge him to take a long shot. He looks around. He starts to drive on Donahoe now, goes to the baseline, then kicks it out to Gutierrez, who banks it in. Nice shot there by Hunter Gutierrez, getting his first points in the game. And it's a 5-point Justin lead now. McDivitt just gets to the timeline when he's double-teamed. Nearly went into the backcourt there with his pass over to Donahoe. Some Vinny's pressure put on there on the guards, bringing it into the forecourt. Pass goes over to McDivitt. McDivitt looks at a three, doesn't take it, drives to the right of the key. Oh, good pass underneath. Layup up and in by Landon Misfagel on a great pass by Liam McDivitt. That makes it 32-25. Justin, nice job transition, getting back on defense to stop the Crushers from a fast break. So Murray is going to try a long three. No good. Rebounded to McDivitt for Justin Sienna. Lets the defense siphon by as he has no pressure on him now, so walks it into the forecourt and gets it to Donahoe. He back out now to McDivitt. Had a little daylight there, elected to kick the ball back out, though, near the timeline. Comes over to Moore. Moore right at the top of the key now as they're working the weave. Pressure staying in shifting kind of a matchup zone. Donahoe drives. He goes in. He puts the shot up, and Polk is going to be charged with a foul on the play. So that is going to be free throws coming for the Braves. As free throw shooter is Barrett Donahoe. Free throw is good. That's his seventh point in the game, and at the foul line, Barrett is 3 out of 3. And he aims, fires, and hits, make that 4 out of 4. And Justin goes up by 9 points again, equaling their previous biggest lead in the game. Vinny's on the attack, needs a win to be in consideration for a postseason play on Wednesday night. With the ball, right side of the key is Hammerling. Now they get it underneath the pole, goes up, shoots, scores, and one. Boy, he is tall, and he used his height to the Crushers' advantage on that. So Polk got the basket, and we'll go to the free throw line. Fouled in the act of shooting, made the basket. He leads all scorers tonight with 12 points. Going to the line, trying to make this a three-point play, and he missed it. Rebound, McDivitt goes high to grab the rebound for Justin Sienna. With 5.5 minutes to go, we're in the third quarter. It's 34-27. Justin with the lead. Moore has the ball. Left side, used up the dribble. Pressured there by Murray. Over to McDivitt. McDivitt fakes right. Comes left. Stops at the top of the key. Passes over to the right side now. Toward the corner, it goes to Moore. Now to McDivitt. He'll try a long three at rims. No good. Rebound is tapped out of bounds. It'll stay with the Braves. Coach David Granucci walking up and down in front of the Braves bench, pointing out something. Matt Uffman, his JV coach, been assisting, too, on helping out with the varsity. JV game was won by Vintage, 48-43. McDivitt inbounds the ball to Donahoe. Donahoe right side, starts to drive in. Passed over to McDivitt. He fires a three. No good. A hustle for the rebound. And Donahoe beat the Crushers there to get the rebound out to McDivitt. Inside of 5 minutes to go now in the third quarter. McDivitt drives in the lane. Kicks it over to Moore. He is fouled. He hit a three and was fouled. Four-point opportunity now for Dominic Moore. Wow. He'll go to the line now. The basket is good. Into the Crusher lineup is Max Phipps. He replaces Ethan Hammerling. And at the free throw line is Moore. His left-handed free throw is perfect, making it a four-point play and giving Justin their biggest lead now. They keep increasing it. It goes up to an 11-point advantage. Into the forecourt, driving to the left of the court is Phipps, and the ball is stolen away as Moore gets it down to Donahoe, and he traveled. Full little pivot foot pull there, and it will give the ball to Vintage in the backcourt. And they have Hunter Gutierrez there to inbound. Hunter is one of five seniors on the Crusher squad. Phipps, who is out there, is another one. So is Rendon out there, and Polk. And so they have four seniors and one junior, the junior being Blake Murray, who has the ball now. He's guarded very tightly by McDivitt. Murray backs up as we're coming up to the four-minute mark. He pulled a pivot foot. Did the same thing that had happened on the opposite end for Justin Sienna. Pulled that pivot foot. Halfway through the third quarter, Justin leading Vintage in an important game for Vintage. They need a win here to get into the playoff. And then that depends on what happens in a couple other games tonight, including Petaluma at Sonoma Valley and Casa Grande at Napa. There's a three-point attempt. No good this time by Moore. Rebounded by Vintage. Down underneath to Polk. He is shoved as he goes in for the shot and was pushed and will go to the line for two shots. But at the line, Polk has hit two, and he has missed three. So he is two for five at the foul line. There's a short timeout being taken there.
The disparity in free throw shooting is really hurting the Crushers. They're now 4 out of 12 from the free throw line. Justin, on the other hand, is perfect, 7 for 7 from the free throw line. And, I mean, this is something pretty fundamental, making free throws, and it would be a shame from Justin or from Vintage's perspective if inability to make free throws ended up costing them a chance at the league tournament.
I might mention that they're 7 for 7. Barrett Donahoe has 4 for 4. Dominic Moore is 1 for 1, and Liam McDivitt is 2 for 2, counting for their 7 out of 7. And at the free throw line, Grant Polk, taking his time, bouncing the basketball, eyeing the basket, is free throw on the way. No good. Hit the flange and caromed off to the right. So he is 2 out of 6 now at the foul line. Boy, the Braves playing really good basketballs so far for this ball game. And the next free throw is good by Grant Polk. His 13th point. Full court pressure now applied for the first time in the ball game to the Braves. They're double-teaming the player with the ball, triple-teaming him at a time. Donahoe is going to be double-teamed at midcourt. Passes underneath to Moore, can't get a shot. And the ball is blocked by Polk. Braves still have it. Driving in is Donahoe, passing over to Moore. Moore with 13 seconds on the shot clock. Backs the ball back up near the timeline. Now it comes over to McDivitt, fakes left, drives right, drives in, then passes it over the side. 2 seconds on the shot clock. The shot is no good, but it hit the rim, and the Braves get the rebound. They get a new shot clock now as they have 3 minutes to go in the third quarter and a 10-point lead and the basketball. 25 seconds on the shot clock as Donahoe out to the top of the key to miss Pakel. Working it around the perimeter, going to the right. Over toward quarter court there. Free throw line extended. Driving in, putting a shot up is Moore. No good. Justin gets another offensive rebound. There is a shot from out to about 3-point range. No good. And the ball is knocked out of bounds. Coach Granucci thought that the Crushers had knocked the ball out of bounds. Right, that's it last. Into the lineup comes Keith Benz. He will replace Dominic Moore there. Did a nice job when he was in there in that first half. 2.5 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter. A 10-point lead for the Braves. Crushers with the ball. Four courts. Phipps. Out the top of the key, they have Polk going to a low post right side, and Gutierrez out on the high post. Goes to the left corner. Rendon, he looks on the low post. They try to lob it into Polk, and he is, well, he got the ball. He was being challenged there and traveled. A turnover for the Crushers. 38-28 score. Justin looking at the full court pressure. The trapping defense in there. The full court zone trap. But the Braves break it. They get it into the forecourt. Donahoe over to McDivitt. McDivitt way out to the right side. He gets a pick and rolls on it. And passes over to Donahoe then. Tries a three. No good. Rebound fought for, and the Braves come up with another offensive rebound against the taller Crusher team. A minute 45 to go in the third quarter. Donahoe has it at the top of the key. He starts to drive the left of the lane. Fakes, turns, jumps, shoots, misses, rebound. There's a Braves again, another offensive rebound to McDivitt. McDivitt well out there, drives to the quarter court, and he forces one up. It's no good. This rebound is fought for, and the Chrysers come away with it this time. David Bound, who just had re-entered the game, over the ball is deflected away, stolen. The Braves have a 2-on-1 fast break, driving it now, hitting the underneath side of the basket was Galvin, but the Braves get another offensive rebound. They pull it back now with 1 minute to go here in the third quarter. Braves leading it by 10 as Vintage has only scored 5 points in this quarter. Braves only scored 8 in the period, but the Braves have had some good offensive rebounding. Donahoe in the right-hand corner to McDivitt, tries a three. Kaboom! McDivitt has hit his third three-point basket. It's the sixth for Justin Sienna in the three-point shooting with 30 seconds to go in the quarter. Driving in is Rendon. He scoops the shot up. It missed, but he was fouled on the old-time scoop shot.
Ira, it's interesting. Because of the terrific job being done by Justin on getting those offensive rebounds after their misses, so far in this quarter, Justin's taken 16 shots. The Crushers have taken only 4 shots in the entire quarter.
Rendon will be shooting 2 free throws. The first one is on its way, and it's no good off to the left. As the free throw shooting again becomes a problem for the Crushers. Crushers making a couple changes. Polk stays in there as far as for the low post position. Rendon goes back to the free throw line. This free throw is no good. They miss both of them, but the Crushers do get the offensive rebound. 22 seconds to go, the shot clock. And there's a steal by the Braves over to Donahoe. Braves are just playing a tremendous basketball here from the opening tip off until right now. And they're looking for the last shot in the third quarter. McDivitt drives in, goes up, shoots, scores! McDivitt, 13 points now, and that is going to end the quarter. And what a quarter it was for the Braves. They managed 13 points in the quarter, which isn't that many total, but when you hold the Vintage Crushers to 5 points, you've outscored them by 8 points in the quarter. We're at the end of three. Score is Justin Sienna, Braves of Napa, 43. The Vintage Crushers of Napa, 28. Back with the fourth quarter after this message. Back here at the Dan Clark Gymnasium, what a quarter for the Braves.
Well, they did a terrific job. They had 5 takeaways and only turned the ball over once, and they out-rebounded the Crushers 10-5, and that's why they got so many more shots off in that quarter, 18 compared with only 4 for the Crushers.
Play resumes now here. We're in the fourth quarter. Vintage gets the ball in the alternate position. Driving in, going up and scoring is Logan Nothman. That's his second field goal of the game, and the Crushers get a good start here in this fourth quarter with the basket coming right out of the chute. The Braves bring the ball in the forecourt as the Vintage Crushers now are using a pressing man-to-man, but they double-team the ball when they have the chance. Galvin out to the top of the key. There's the jump shot up, no good, and the ball is out of bounds off of Donahoe. Boy, he stretched out there, tried to save it from going out of bounds, just went off his fingertips, and the Crushers get the ball back. Crushers started this quarter down by 15. They have the ball now in the forecourt as the whistle blows, and there was an offensive foul, a little shove called against the Crushers. That was their third team foul. Team fouls are even at 3 apiece. Neither one close yet to the bonus situation here in the fourth quarter. McDivitt still in the backcourt as the Crushers apply the pressure. And now he's to McDivitt there as he's across the timeline. Passing underneath the basket, a reverse layup is up. No good by Kiefer. Goes for the rebound, and the Braves get another offensive rebound. How about that? And the Crushers have both Polk and Gutierrez out there now and could not garner the rebound. Driving in, it's going up, missing the shot was Donahoe, but he drove the lane and was fouled on the play. And the foul is going to go on Polk. Grant Polk called for his personal foul. The first free throw is good by Donahoe. As the Braves keep their accuracy at the free throw line, that's eight in a row without a miss there. Donahoe has 5 for 5. And, well, then they have a 2 for 2 for McDivitt. And Donahoe will be back to the free throw line. Oh, and 1 for 1 for Dominic Moore. Free throw is no good. It's squirted out there. And that's their first miss of the game at the foul line. It comes in the fourth quarter, leading it by 14. The ball is deflected away from Castro, out of bounds. Last touch by the Braves. Murray is back into the lineup for the Vintage Crushers. He'll trigger the inbound. Comes in the right-hand corner to Rendon. Rendon guarded tightly there by McDivitt, and causes Rendon to dribble the ball off his shoe, out of bounds. Turnover, thanks to the pressure by McDivitt.
That's 13 turnovers by Vintage, just 6 for Justin.
A minute and a half gone here in the fourth quarter. Donahoe in the forecourt. Looks for a block, gets it, comes in. Now he'll take it back out. And the ball is deflected, and he goes out of bounds to the Crusher. Turnover there for the Braves. They get back on defense quickly. They stay in a man-to-man defense, and there is a reach-in foul, I think, going to be called on Benz. So team foul-wise, that's 4 for each team. Of course, you get into the bonus after your 6th team foul. So both teams have some fouls to give yet before the bonus is applied. Logan Nothman with the ball to the left of the key, drives towards the right. Braves do a nice job of checking off. Goes to Murray. Murray at the free throw line, pull the pivot foot, and is called for a travel. Both coaches off of their respective benches. Rob Johnson in his second year off Vintage bench. David Granucci in his first year off the Justin Siena bench. 2 minutes gone in the fourth quarter. McDivitt hurries it in the forecourt to try to beat the press. Now he sets the offense in motion, their deliberate pattern, as they spread the offense, trying to stay away from the double-teaming of the Crusher defenders. McDivitt's going to shoot over him. Kaboom! Got a 3. That was huge, that 3-point basket. That is his 4th, and Moore has 3 three-pointers. And the Braves, underneath it goes to Castro, missed the layup, and the rebound is taken out of there by Satin. Boy, Satin, who had just come in, does a nice job on the rebound, brings the ball into the forecourt, drives into the lane, turns, pivots, goes up, shoots, scores, but traveled, and that will negate the field goal. So we're coming up on the 5-minute mark here in the fourth quarter, and the Braves are up by 17 over the Crushers. Driving into the left side, kicking over to Rendon. He tries the 3. It rims, no good. Rebound by Satin, and the Braves have it. A 2-on-1 fast break. McDivitt drives in, goes up, shoots, scores, and 1. Foul is called on Luke Williams. The basket is good by McDivitt. That was his 17th and 18th points in the game, and he will strive to the free throw line to try to make it 19.
The Braves are just playing inspired basketball tonight, and frankly, I'm a little bit stunned. It looks like we have a full timeout called by Rob Johnson.
Okay, with the full timeout, we're going to take timeout for a message. 49-30 is the score. Justin Siena in the lead. Inside of 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We'll be right back after this message. Well, here we go. Inside of 5 minutes to go, the Crushers need to have a huge comeback if they're going to make it into the playoffs.
Yes, they do. The Braves are doing a great job of being the spoilers. A Braves team that's only won one league game so far, I believe, this year.
They are 1-10. Vintage is 5-6. And Vintage, coming in, needed to win. And, well, we'll give you that situation a little bit. The free throw is good by McDivitt, giving him his 19th point. So the Braves go up by 20. That is their biggest lead. They continue to increase their lead. as the ball comes into the forecourt to Rendon, guarded by McDivitt. Rendon at the top of the key, starts to drive the right. They make a shift on the defense, cutting over there is Kiefer to drive him, to guard him. He shoots over Kiefer, misses. Rebound is taken by McDivitt. Boy, a nice job of off the defensive board now to Donahoe in the forecourt. A behind-the-back dribble as he was double-teamed, gets the ball into the forecourt and actually gets some applause on that move. McDivitt quarter court. Passes over. Turn around, jump shot up. No good. Rebound by the Braves again as Satin got that offensive rebound. They set up their deliberate pattern now. We are midway through the fourth quarter, 50-30. Justin leads it by 20 points. McDivitt fires a three. It rims. It's no good. Rebound by the Braves again as that was Satin getting in there off the offensive backboard for the ball. And gets it over to the right side to Benz. He nearly lost it, but finally controlled it. Now out to McDivitt. McDivitt guarded tightly there by Rendon. Rendon trying to steal the ball. McDivitt tries to drive around him. Goes into the lane. A pull-up jumper, a floater. No good. Rendon rebounds for the Chrysers. 3.5 minutes to go. Chrysers down by 20. Need a lot of baskets here in a short period of time. And the ball is intercepted and then stolen back by Max Phipps. Braves are going to try a fast break. Murray drives it into the left-hand corner, comes back out now, gives to Rendon. Rendon behind the arc, underneath to a low post to Polk. He made a basket, but was fouled before the shot, I believe. The foul is going to be on Kiefer. Team fouls are even at 5 apiece, so each team has a foul to give yet. McDivitt's going to be given a little breather. He comes to the sideline, and they try to get the ball into Polk on a low post. They cannot do so, so shooting a three from the right corner and hitting it for the Chrysler is Blake Murray. Hits the three from the corner. That's the second three-point basket for the Chrysler. The first one was by Rendon in the second quarter. Braves with the ball. And there's a reach-in foul on the Chrysler. That was the last foul to give that Vintage has. So it'll be a shooting situation on the next foul attempt. Overall, coming into the game, Justin Sienna, 11-14 overall. Vinny's was 10-13. So they were fairly even in that department. But in the league, Justin Sienna was 1-10. The Braves have the ball and a 17-point lead. Donahoe, top the key. Bounce pass underneath, bad pass, out of bounds. It'll be Chrysler's ball. 2:41 to go. The clock is going to be a factor now as it favors Justin Sienna. There's the three by Rendon. In and out, and the rebound comes off to Satin for the break. They've got a fast break. Coming down is Galvin. Goes up, he shoots, he scores. He got behind the defense and went down for the layup for his second basket in the game. And it's a 19-point ball. Polk on a low post. Puts a shot up, blocked, and fouled. Zachary Kiefer just said, "What I had all ball, ref." And the referee's got a big smile on his face as he's coming over to talk to Kiefer. Kiefer's hands on his hips as he goes underneath there to see about rebounding. Kiefer, one of six seniors on senior night here for Justin Sienna. And at the foul line, Max Phipps. Phipps looking for his first point. Into the lineup for Justin Sienna. Dominic Moore coming out of the lineup. Keith Vins, a sophomore coming out. A senior going in. Moore's had a great game. He's had 14 points. Polk at the free throw line makes the free throw. And what did he do on the first one?
He missed the first one, Ira.
All right, and there's an interception as the Chrysers intercept the pass. They get it down to the right side. There is a hurried-up shot by Gutierrez. No good. Long rebound comes out, and it's taken by Rendon. Rendon drives into the lane going for the layup, and there was a foul called. Both teams are in the bonus now, and this foul goes against the Braves. That may be on Moore, and it is. Rendon at the free throw line. Both teams in the bonus. Rendon scores the free throw. He's missed his first two free throws tonight, so he's one out of three at the foul line. Gracier's down by 17. There's a timeout asked for. So on the timeout, we can tell you a little bit about the boys Fine Valley Athletic League. Knapp had already clinched the number one seed, and on Wednesday night, we'll host, looks like it'll either be Casa Grande or Sonoma Valley now, because it looks like Vintage is going to be eliminated unless they can have a huge comeback.
Yeah, it would take a miraculous comeback. I'm very impressed with the performance of the Justin Siena Braves tonight. They came into this game having not had a really successful league season, but a win like this can really redeem a lot. It's senior night, and it was a chance to play spoiler, and the Braves have come out and out-rebounded the taller Crushers and just shown a tremendous amount of desire and effort tonight.
A lot of locals would have liked to have seen the Napa Vintage matchup in that opening round of the Vine Valley Athletic League playoffs.
Yeah, a Napa Vintage game in any sport is always fun. It would have been nice to see them go at it again, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Well, we have 2 minutes to go and a 17-point deficit to overcome for Vintage. And this has to make David Granucci very pleased with his team tonight. Boy, they have really done a great job against the taller Crusher squad. And at the foul line now is Rendon. Jared, a senior, is 1 out of 3 at the foul line so far tonight. And he's 2 for 4 as he makes the free throw. So full court press as the ball comes in, and getting around the defender is Galvin. Drives all the way into the forecourt. Pass comes to Satin as he passes it back out. Now to Donahoe, setting their deliberate pattern in motion. Donahoe against Phipps starts to drive around him. Now brings it back out. Over to Satin, turnaround, jumper, rims, no good. Rebound taken out by Gutierrez, fouled in the backcourt. The bonus is in effect now, and that's what the Braves do not want to do, is foul. That stops the clock and gives the Crusaders free throws. Galvin was called for the personal foul. So it's still the bonus situation, the 1-1, not yet into the double bonus until a couple more fouls. At the free throw line, Hammond. And did he miss that one? I looked down at my paper when he was shooting at it.
He made it, Ira.
Okay, I'm just looking down at my score sheet, as that was the first free throw that he had made. He had missed one in the first half. The free throw is no good there on the second one. And the rebound is taken by the Braves. Well, another good job off the defensive backboard there with a minute and a half to go. 52-37 lead. Braves get it in the forecourt. Satin dumps the pass over to Donahoe. Fakes left. Starts right. Used up the dribble. Finds open there Moore. Moore drives into the lane. Forces one up. It won't go, but he will go to the line. He'll shoot 2 free throws. The foul on Max Phipps of Justin Siena. So at the free throw line is Moore. His free throw is good. At the foul line, he is 2 for 2 tonight. Satin has come out of the lineup. Jayden is only a sophomore. He's got really good potential. Great rebound. Free throw is good by Moore. He goes 2 for 2 at the line, and it is a 17-point lead with a minute 10 to go. Braves with the lead, the Crushers with the ball, Rendon with the three-point attempt, no good, and the rebound again goes to the Braves. What a job off of the backboard, both defensively and offensively, and the Braves get the ball into the forecourt against some pressure defense. Galvin over in the corner, Rosenthal tries the three, no good, but he gets his own rebound, and brings it back out. We're in the final minute of the ball game now. Braves going to have their biggest victory of the season. Goes to Donahoe. Donahoe fires the ball. It goes out of bounds. I think he thought that Landon Mistego was going to cut for the basket. He did not.
And we've got subs coming in for the seniors as they come off for their final time, Myra.
Battering of applause for the Justin Siena seniors as we Got a lot of new players in. There's Rendon trying a three-pointer from the corner. No good. Scramble for a loose ball, and a jump ball is called. Nice job of getting in there by Casey Petrovic. Petrovic was able to tie him up. And the Braves on the alternate position get the ball. It's Rosenthal inbounding the ball, and it's deflected by the Crushers out of bounds with 25 seconds to go. The shot clock is off. The game clock shows 25 seconds, and the Braves with the ball and a 17-point lead as they get it to Dominic Moore, brings it in the forecourt, nearly threw it away. Rosenthal has it now, back near the center. Now he works the weave. It's his pass over to Tyler Kariffa. Kariffa passes to Casey Petrovic, and that'll run out the clock. And that ends the season for the Phoenix Crushers, I would imagine. I don't know of any scenario where they will be able to get into the playoffs now that they have been defeated by Justin Siena. In that fourth quarter, Vintage Crushers had 9 points in the quarter. Justin Siena had 11 points in the quarter. We'll take a look at the individual scoring, get some comments, select players of the game, but David Granucci has to be very pleased. First-year coach and going out on senior night, six seniors, and what a great effort as they get some applause by some of the fans as they head for the dressing room. And we'll be heading to the score sheet and the shooting stats in the ball game when we return after timeout for these messages. Well, as we take a look now at the Boys Vine Valley Athletic League, Napa playing at home tonight against Casa Grande has already clinched the number one spot. And American Canyon has finished their league schedule, so they'll be in the number two spot. And Vintage has basically shot itself out of the playoffs now with that loss. They are 5-7 in the league. Sonoma Valley is 5-6, and even if Sonoma Valley loses tonight to Petaluma, and it is at Sonoma, they still have the advantage over Vintage by beating the Crushers twice during the season. Vintage would have had the advantage over Casa Grande, as Vintage beat Casa Grande twice, but Casa Grande is going to get the number three seed because they had the advantage over Sonoma Valley. So it will be Napa against Sonoma Valley on Wednesday night, and we'll be broadcasting that game. American Canyon will take on Casa Grande, and we'll be missing the Vintage Crushers.
Yeah, they with this loss, they fall to 10-14 overall on the year. They're not going to be in the league tournament, and it's extremely unlikely that they would get an at-large berth to the section playoffs. So for the Crushers, their season finishes tonight. Of course, the Braves season finished tonight, but the Braves go out on a high note with the big win. And for the Crushers, a little bit of a disappointment, as frankly, they were kind of out-hustled and outplayed by the Justin Braves tonight.
Well, last year, Vintage won 12 games and lost 14. This year, it was 10 wins and 14 losses. Last year, their final year in the MEL, they were 4-6. This year, their first year in the Vine Valley Athletic League, they were 5-7. So let's take a look at tonight's shooting statistics, and I'll review the individual scoring.
So on the team shooting, for the visitors, the Crushers of Vintage High School, they ended up putting up 40 field goal attempts and making 13. That's 32.5% shooting. They were 2 of 12 from beyond the arc and just 9 of 21 from the free throw line. For the home squad, the Braves of Justin Siena High School, they made 18 out of 55, 33% from the floor. They made 7 out of 18, 39% from three-point land, and they were a sharp 11 out of 12 from the free throw line, not missing even a single free throw try until the fourth quarter and ending up 11 of 12 92% free throw shooting. The turnovers favored the Justin Braves. They turned the ball over 12 times. The Crushers turned it over 16 times. Rebounding favored the Braves as they out-rebounded the taller Crushers by 33-31. Vintage had 7 assists on their 13 made baskets. Justin had 12 assists on their 18 made baskets. There were 2 blocked shots, both by Vintage. And Vintage was first to score, and the lead changed hands 5 times during the first quarter and was tied on 2 other occasions. But after that, it was the Justin Braves just pulling away, and that's the team statistics story, Ira.
Okay, Dino, thank you. Before we go to the individual scoring in the ball game, we want to find out what it's like to have had 3 sons go through Justin Siena. The third one finished his athletic career at Justin Siena perhaps tonight. We're talking about number 2 out there, Barrett Donahoe, who finished the basketball season. He finished the football season as the quarterback, and have his mother with us, Molly Donahoe. Tell us about having this all come to a conclusion now with those 3 kids.
Well, it's been amazing. I'm all in for Justin Siena. We've had the greatest experience here. Athletically, it's really been enjoyable. My oldest is actually a girl, and I know you know that, Ira. And we got to go play Arco Arena with her. And my middle boy, he dabbled in basketball and football and then found his true love, which was golf. And now Barrett has kept us busy from probably the age of 2. So it is kind of bittersweet right now. It'll probably hit me later. But, yeah, kind of amazing and really happy to go out on such a really high note tonight.
Yeah, your daughter was here today, too.
Yes, she was. She came down. She lives in Davis. She graduated here in 2014, graduated Davis in 2018, and now has her big girl job. But she did take the time out of her busy life to come down and see her brother, and I'm so happy for that. I think he plays really well when she's around, so I should have tried to get her to more games.
Well, has certainly done a great job, not only in this basketball season, but throughout the football season. What are his interests come next fall?
Well, his interest is to further his athletic career, and that's what we're going to now be working on, is where we're going to end up, and hopefully it's somewhere where he's going to be able to play football. He's got a couple colleges in Oregon that he's looking at, and we'll just see. Hopefully it'll work out, because I don't think he's done yet. I think he has something else to prove to himself, and we all already know about that, how well he plays and what a great leader he is. So time for him to get outside this small pond and see what it's like out there in the real world.
You know, what we have noticed has been his improvement. He has not just stayed the same or dropped down. He has steadily improved through his high school career.
Yeah, which is really awesome, because I was a little worried about that for a time. You know, you always see these kids that are just amazing athletes. Well, they're just kind of ahead of everybody, and then everybody else catches up to them. He studies the game. He is very serious about it. He pays complete attention to his coaches and follows everything they say, which has helped him better himself all along.
Has he made any trips to any of the colleges yet?
Yes, he has. He's gone to Linfield up in Oregon, and he'll be going up to the University of Puget Sound in another week and a half. He actually went and saw a lot of colleges up in Oregon, D2 and D3, and he met a lot of coaches. So now it's kind of up to him to decide what's going to be the best fit.
It would be good to have him go to a place where he will be playing.
Exactly. That's part of the equation. It gets a little more difficult every step you go with your athletic career.
Well, Molly, you have done a great job on the sideline. You have been the official scorekeeper for Justin Siena. How long have you done that?
Well, it started out probably 10 or 12 years ago in my kids' sporting careers. And it was mostly so that their mom would keep quiet on the sidelines and concentrate on keeping the book. So I'm not done yet. We've got the Dan Clark tournament coming up in the first week of March, and I plan on sitting there at the score table for that whole week also, because I love the game of basketball. Very excited that I have that to look forward to, so maybe that's why it hasn't quite hit me tonight that this is it.
Who's going to be directing that tournament this year?
That'll be Mike Clark, and he's going to probably start promoting that a little bit on the radio waves, and we have a really great team. We have Michael Dewey Green, as usual, is going to be announcing, and then his brother, DeLoss Green, will be announcing also.
And it's nice to have him back in the area.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
He was back in Connecticut for a little while, I think.
Yeah, I think he loved it until it snowed. Then he had two more years to put up with it. Oh, look, there's Barrett.
Okay, I'll let you go and enjoy your son on senior night. Molly, thank you.
Ira, I always love when I see you two here. Thank you so much for doing so much for our kids.
That was Molly Donahoe, and her son had 9 points tonight. He had 6 of those in the first quarter and a couple field goals and 2 out of 2 at the foul line in that first quarter. Had a couple more free throws and 2 attempts in the third quarter and 1 out of 2 then in the fourth quarter at the foul line. He wound up with 9 points. Since we were just talking to his mom, I thought I'd put those figures in there before I give you the Vintage Crushers total. The Crushers were led by Grant Polk, as he had 14 points in the contest. He hit five field goals, and he hit 4 free throws out of, he missed 5, 4 out of 9 at the foul line. Blake Murray had 5 points. He was 2 out of 6 at the free throw line and made a 3-point basket. Jeffrey Hammond had a field goal and was 1 out of 3 at the foul line for 3 points. Hunter Gutierrez had a field goal for 2 points. Logan Nothman had 2 field goals for 4 points. And Jared Rendon, who had a 7-point second quarter, only scored 2 points in the second half on 2 out of 4 at the foul line. But on the evening, he had a 3-point basket and 2 2-point baskets for his 9-point contribution in that contest. For the victorious Justin Siena Braves of Napa, it was Liam McDivitt leading the way with 6 field goals. 4 of those were 3-pointers. He hit on 3 out of 3 at the free throw line. Wyatt Humphreys didn't play much, but when he came in there, he made a nice basket in that second quarter, wound up with 2 points in the game. Keith Vince also had 2 points, did a nice job off the defensive backboard, I thought. Landon Misbegel, one of the 6 seniors, had a field goal for 2 points. While Jaden Satin did not score in the game, he was a factor off the boards, helped get the ball away from the big guy Grant Polk of the Crushers. And Dominic Moore hit on 3 3-pointers. It's 8 points in the first quarter, propelled the Braves to the lead in that period. So he wound up with 5 field goals, and he was 3 out of 3 at the free throw line. And with those 3 3-pointers, he had 16 points in the ball game. Kevin Galvin, very aggressive as usual, 2 field goals for 4 points. And I'm not sure what happened to Simone Anatoni, normally a regular, but we did not see him in action here tonight. And that is our story as far as the individual scoring. The Braves led at the end of the first quarter, 14-9, and moved it to a 30-23 halftime lead. And then at the end of 3 quarters, Justin Siena was ahead 43-28. And the Crushers had their problems, not only at the foul line, as Dino alluded to, but their outside shooting and getting the ball inside, as they were the taller team.
Yeah, it was a surprisingly poor performance by Vintage, but I give Justin all the credit. Rebounding isn't always about who's the tallest. It's about getting position and it's about effort and desire. And Justin was scrambling for all those balls, and they ended up out-rebounding Vintage, not by a lot, but 33-31. And between that and the turnover advantage, it really was an advantage for the Braves. The stat that jumps out at me as most impressive about them in a high school game, usually if you can have as many assists as you have turnovers, you've had a good game, and Justin had 12 assists and 12 turnovers. On the other hand, the Crushers had just 7 assists and 16 turnovers. So,
all right, well, going on right now, the Vine Valley girls basketball action. The Vintage Crushers are hosting Justin Sienna. Vintage is 10-1, already secured the number one slot, and Justin Sienna 5-6. They will be in and play Vintage on Wednesday night again. But that'd be interesting to find out what Andy Betancourt had to say about meeting the Crushers tonight and then again on Wednesday night.
Well, Andy, how has the season been as far as the Justin Sienna girls?
It's been a good season overall. Right now we're sitting at 13-12 going into tonight's game. And, you know, we'd, of course, love to have a few more wins. But overall, it's been a great experience with a good group of kids.
What about tonight?
Tough team in Vintage. They're going to be the league champions for a reason. So we're going in there, and we're going to give them our best shot.
You already have secured a spot in the first ever Vine Valley playoffs.
Yes, we have. We are locked into the fourth spot, and in a scheduling anomaly, both playoff games are just going to be replays of tonight's game. So Napa at Casa and us at Vintage. So we'll be playing Vintage again Wednesday night in the playoffs.
Everybody healthy for your squad?
You have a knock on wood because you never know. But going into tonight, yes, we're all healthy.
Okay, well, those are some comments as he is ready to go into action. That game's slated to start about now. So while our game is finished here, that game is starting. It was really nice of the school to allow Joe Donahoe, who coaches the Vintage girls, to come over here, and they moved the starting time up to 6:30 instead of the normal 7 o'clock, and then they moved back the starting time of the girls' game from 7 to 8 o'clock so that Joe would have a chance to see his son on senior night and his last basketball performance for the Braves.
And it was a terrific performance by Barrett. He's definitely one of my nominees for player of the game, as I thought he played one of the best games that we've seen him play on the Justin varsity.
Okay, well, let's select our player of the game then.
Well, I'm going to McDevitt, I thought, was just outstanding with his scoring, especially early on. Moore was great. If I had to pick one guy, I guess it would be McDevitt, though.
Yeah, he had 19 points and was the calming influence, I thought, there. When he was handling the ball, things got pretty calm there. And his brother, who's right in front of us now, did a nice job on the JV level throughout the year as well. Good three-point shooter. And so I'll go along with that with a good recommendation on the performance of Dominic Moore tonight, too. His early going, he had those 8 points in the first quarter. Braves only had two players score in that first quarter. Moore had 8, and Donahoe had 6 points, and they led 14-9. So they got an early lead and were able to sustain that.
Yeah, it started out as a really fun back-and-forth game. In fact, at one stretch, the lead changed hands on 4 consecutive buckets by the two teams. They were just going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, the Braves slowly and surely just started to pull away. In fact, I believe, in looking at my score sheet, that the Braves outscored the Crushers in every quarter. So the margin got larger by halftime, even larger at the end of the third quarter, and by the end of the game was a 17-point margin. A terrific job by the Justin Braves, and just sad for the Crushers with a chance to clinch a playoff berth or to at least to make themselves eligible for a playoff berth. I mean, we don't know what's going to end up in the other games, but we know now for sure that that Vintage's season is through. They're not going to be in the league tournament because any equation, any scenario that got Vintage in required Vintage winning tonight.
You've already put away the sheet that had the leading scores in the JV game, but if we could just acknowledge them once again as we're ready to sign off here. In that JV game, Vintage was the winner to finish the season 14-7. They were 8-4 in the league. They trailed 20-12 at the end of the first quarter. At one point, they were down 20-10. And Justin still led at halftime 29-28. But in that third quarter, the Braves went cold. They did not make a field goal in the third quarter, made only one free throw, while Vintage managed 9 points, not that many, but enough to pull ahead 37-30. And then the Braves were able to tie it up at 39 apiece, but Vintage opened up a 48-43 victory, led by Sam Neill with 14 points. Snively had 10 points for Justin Sienna in that losing effort. Aiden Cushing had 10 points. Caden McDivitt had 8 points, and that was the younger brother, as we mentioned, of Liam McDivitt. So that is pretty much our story. We will be on the air on Wednesday night at 6:45 with the Napa High game, as Napa will be taking on, that looks like, probably Sonoma Valley on Friday night, and or on Wednesday night. Friday night we'll be broadcasting both championships, the girls' championship and the boys' championship. Not necessarily in that order, depending on which is the higher seed gets the second game in that. But the games will be played at the American Canyon Gymnasium, and we'll go on the air at 5:15 on Friday evening with the first of two, the second game around 7 o'clock. So a lot of basketball yet to come.
Absolutely, and we still have one Napa Valley College game left to broadcast, and we have a prolific prep game on the schedule. And, of course, depending what happens in the conference tournament on Friday, there may be some section playoff games that we'll be carrying. So I'm keeping my pencils at the ready. We could still have quite a few more games to broadcast.
Okay, well, that's pretty much our story. Our thanks to Aaron Anderson for joining us for halftime. And to Angelo Lyons, our engineer back at the KVON studio. And congratulations to David Granucci, first-year coach for the Braves, closing out the season that ended with a victory. Along with Dino Alessio at the Dan Clark Gymnasium, on behalf of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters, this is Ira C. Smith reminding you our final score in this one, the Justin Sienna Braves of Napa, 54, and the Vintage Crushers of Napa, 37.